Humans have something in common with diamonds. A few things, in fact. Firstly, we're made of carbon. Secondly, we're all imperfect. Even the most beautiful humans on Earth have what could be construed as flaws. Marilyn Monroe, Cindy Crawford, and Angelina Jolie all have facial moles that are marketed as beauty marks, and that didn't stop them from being revered as the most beautiful women on the planet. In some cultures, beauty marks have spiritual meanings, including symbolizing destiny or divine protection. Who knew that a tiny dot on your face could hold so much symbolic power? It turns out the beauty mark has an intricate past related to the way in which it's been valued. In ancient Greece, they were used to predict one's future. In imperial China, they were used as a form of divination or face reading. And we all know that beauty marks also got a bad rap in medieval Europe, where it was believed moles were a sign of witchcraft. In 18th century Mexico, women wore faux beauty marks made from tortoise shell or fabric, while at the same time in Europe, they were used to cover smallpox and became a fad among aristocrats. So there's your first sales talking point. You can relate the rich history and significance of human flaws to beauty marks and make an included diamond sound much more interesting. So now that I've reeled you in, let's get to the point. In this podcast, we'll be focusing on the beauty of natural diamonds, specifically those that are included, and how those inclusions are not just beauty marks or flaws, but story marks of each diamond's journey from formation to the surface of the earth. Diamond inclusions are often devalued and underappreciated by our industry and can be a powerful part of the sales conversation. There are three main takeaways for this session. First, we'll explore the background of diamond inclusions and what they can reveal about the diamond. Second, we'll discuss why gemologists love inclusions and which ones are special. Third, we'll cover what story each inclusion type can tell about the diamond. Finally, you should be able to talk to your customers about included diamonds in a new way and use them to generate interest at the sales counter with some talking points. And if nothing else, a deeper appreciation for what we may, on initial glance, think is a diamond that isn't so great. Hopefully you leave this session with some talking points about the beauty of natural diamond inclusions and better ways to approach selling included diamonds, which most diamonds are. So who am I to talk about diamond inclusions? I'm one of the nerdiest gem nerds in the industry. I have been a laboratory gemologist and educator trainer for 22 years. My name is Alethea. I'm the Chief Learning Officer for Gemological Science International, henceforth acronymed to GSI. GSI is the only laboratory member of the Plum Club, and our business focuses on the certification and appraisals of diamonds, gemstones, and jewelry. We are one of the largest global gemological laboratories by volume in the industry, so we see a lot, and I mean a lot, of diamonds. So we have lots of fun information to share. If you're a fellow gem nerd, welcome. If not, you will be by the end of this podcast. Technical gemologists think about gemstones and diamonds differently. We don't see inclusions as flaws or something to detract from value or beauty. Heck, some gemologists build their entire careers around photographing and identifying diamond and gemstone inclusions. If nothing else, diamond inclusions are paying someone's mortgage. If inclusions are what get us gemologists out of bed and in front of the microscope every morning, why can't we share that same wonder and enthusiasm for diamond inclusions with our customers and across the industry? Let's start at the beginning, where diamonds are formed. Diamonds are formed deep within the Earth's mantle under high pressure and high temperature conditions. The process typically involves carbon atoms being subjected to extreme heat and pressure at depths of around 140 to 190 kilometers, or about 87 to 118 miles below the Earth's surface. These conditions occur in limited zones of the Earth's mantle where temperatures are at least 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit or 1,050 degrees Celsius. This critical temperature pressure environment is very rare and is only found beneath the continental plates. These spots are called diamond stability zones, and this is where diamonds come from when they are finally delivered to the Earth's surface, one way or the other. One common way diamonds are delivered to us surface dwellers is from deep source eruptions. It's your typical grade school diagram. Diamonds are brought to the surface in rapid, violent underground eruptions that tear out pieces of the Earth's mantle and carry it rapidly to the surface. This type of eruption is rare, and it's never been observed by modern humans, since, you know, we weren't around millions of years ago to witness it. Diamonds can also form at subduction zones, so go back to your high school geology and think about plate tectonics, where the oceanic plate gets pushed below a continental plate. This also creates conditions that can form diamonds, but these deposits are much rarer and don't usually yield commercial diamond deposits. And can we please clear one thing up while we're here? Diamonds are not formed from coal. Coal is a sedimentary rock formed from plant debris deposited at the Earth's surface. It is rarely buried greater than 2 miles down, so it's not likely coal moved from the crust all the way down to a depth below the continents. Diamonds get their carbon from the element trapped in the Earth at the time of our planet's formation. Diamonds are not coal that has undergone pressure, no matter what the posters and quotes and memes say. There are also super rare, super deep diamonds, derived from below the continental lithosphere at the top of the lower mantle. In layperson terms, they form way deeper than regular diamonds, as in up to 750 kilometers deep. That's 466 miles. These super rare diamonds even have their own nickname, Clipper diamonds. It stands for Cullinan-like, large, inclusion-poor, pure, irregular, and resorbed. Again, in regular person terms, these diamonds are large, like up to 100 carats large, high clarity, low nitrogen, type 2, and are usually rounded or broken when they finally make their way to the surface. These diamonds grow from metallic liquid. Now that is pretty cool and something that you can share with an interested customer. Now the question is, how do you know this for sure? We know this because science. Scientists across the globe have been studying diamond inclusions for decades. Diamonds are the perfect time capsule because they're strong and inert to chemicals, such as the hot acids they're exposed to under the Earth. The minerals trapped inside diamonds tell a story of their formation conditions. These inclusions, that may not be desirable when the four C's are part of the conversation, are a PhD's day job. Those shiny, linear metallic inclusion and black rosette fractures just told us that there are small amounts of oxygen, even in the oxygen-poor environment deep in the Earth, and confirmed the presence of iron, nickel, carbon, sulfur, and thereby confirmed the fundamental workings of the Earth's interior, including things that are important to us surface dwellers, like seismic velocity, thermal and electrical conductivity of the mantle, and how it deforms and flows. As Graham Pearson, professor at the Department of Earth and Atmospheric Sciences at the University of Alberta, says, "There are many things at the surface of the Earth that can only be explained by processes happening at deep depths." What else can diamond inclusions tell us besides formation depth, formation, and geological processes? Age. Occasionally, inclusions can contain radioactive elements that allow for radiometric dating, providing an estimate of the diamond's age and when it crystallized. The oldest recorded diamonds are 3.5 to 3.3 billion-year-old Canadian diamonds from the Diavik and Ekati deposits. They were formed before there was even oxygen in the Earth's atmosphere, about 2.5 to 2.3 billion years ago. The youngest diamonds are around 9 million years old. No matter how you slice it, any customer would be fascinated to learn that their jewelry contains some of the oldest items on the planet. How's that for a diamond is forever? Let's take a break from geology for a moment and go back to the four C's. As we know, inclusions are plotted on a grading report. There are two main reasons for plots. The first, to identify the diamond, and the second, to justify the clarity grade. The first is important, and this is why we can say that inclusions are a diamond's fingerprint. No two diamonds have the same inclusions in the same place. While inclusion suites, or a particular group of inclusions of a certain category, can be common, the geography and distribution differ. We assess diamond clarity on size, nature, number, location, and relief. These five factors never overlap. Nature's great like that. In my past, I have seen fraudulent grading reports where someone tried to match a pre-existing report to a different diamond. Everything matched, even the diamond's proportions, which is hard to do. They had taken the time to repolish the diamonds to match. The first giveaway? The plots. They were not the same. Close, but there was no way to match them. Secondly, the color was not the same as the reports. The good news is a tactic like that won't work on a trained gemologist that knows how to look at the diamond and read the report. But more importantly, it means every diamond is unique. And for those of us that have seen millions of diamonds in our lifetimes, it may not mean much. But to that person across the 18 inches of sales counter, it does. You can tell them, like you, it's one in a billion. Plots also justify the clarity grade for the diamond. They don't explain it, however, they justify it. This is an important distinction because not all inclusions in a diamond are plotted. Otherwise, our poor diamond graders would be sitting there for hours plotting each diamond. At GSI, we plot the most significant identifying inclusions that A, set the grade, B, ID the stone, and C, justify the grade. That's it, that's all we need. If the diamond is more included, we don't need to plot every twinning wisp, just the top 3 to 5 that create a unique identifiable pattern. On a VVS diamond, we need to plot the few inclusions that set the grade and maybe some other features like polish or symmetry that help us identify it. Gemologists have names for the different diamond inclusions. Some sound fancy, like twinning wisps. Twinning wisps can have large or small impacts on a diamond's clarity depending on if they're light or dark, thick versus thin, or dense versus sparse. Twinning wisps are most often in SI and I clarity diamonds. They're not single inclusions, but a series of inclusions that are interconnected, sometimes like ribbons, sometimes like threads, that result from diamond twinning during growth. In simplest terms, twinning is when two diamond crystals grow together. Diamond crystals twin when there are changes in their growth, either pressure, temperature, growth rates, or changes in the chemistry of the diamond's environment. During the nucleation process of the crystal, the atoms that form the diamond end up bonding in a rotated manner, causing the two parts of the diamond to be rotated 60 degrees to each other. The seam where these two halves meet is where twinning wisps form, a collection of crystals, clouds, tension fractures, graphitization, like a cosmic mishmash telling the story of how two diamonds grew together from the start of their formation. Tell me you can't turn that into a sales story. Feathers are breaks in the crystal surface. They're a rather romantic way of saying crack. However, these feathers can take on textures like bird feathers or iridescent rainbows, or can be colored green or brown from radioactive fluids leaching in and changing the structure of the diamond lattice. Feathers can be large, small, high or low relief, visible or obvious, but most importantly, they remind us that everyone's been through something. Feathers happen when the diamond is exploded from the depths of the earth, from tumbling around in alluvial deposits for millions of years, or even from the polishing process. Let's be real, we all have a few cracks or scars that tell what we've been through as we polish ourselves into our own best versions. Show me a diamond with a feather and I'll show you a diamond that's been through some things. Included crystals may not sound fancy, but to me as a gemologist, they're the best inclusions. The diamond is a time capsule preserving that little mineral inside waiting to unlock the diamond's history. Sapphire is the rarest diamond inclusion, and they're my favorite. Once in a blue moon, pun intended, sapphires are found in diamonds. Because the geological conditions for sapphire and diamond to occur together are extremely rare, a sapphire-included crystal tells us the diamond has undergone multiple formation events that are distinct in time or environments. Sapphire is commonly associated with metamorphic rocks, and its presence as an inclusion in a diamond may suggest that the diamond went through metamorphic processes during its formation. Metamorphism is the transformation of pre-existing rocks into new rock types through changes in temperature, pressure, and chemically active fluids over time. This process occurs deep within the Earth's crust or upper mantle, typically at depths where temperatures and pressures are significantly higher than those at the Earth's surface. It's just like how we change and become different people as we undergo pressure, stress, and challenges. Diamond inclusions like that remind me that no challenge, no change. What's that expression? There's no comfort in greatness. And that's what diamond epitomizes. The next time a customer walks in and the best they can do is buy an included diamond, tell them they're buying a piece of Earth's history that has a story just like theirs. It's been through some things and it has the inclusions to back it up. We all have battle wounds and beauty marks, and diamonds are no different. They're our story marks.